Hello and welcome to Imola for round two of the FIA World Endurance Championship. My name's Alexa Randall and I'm joined by Sam Smith as we bring you the preview for the race weekend we have coming up. Brought to you by Le Mans Ultimate, the FIA World Endurance Championship official game. Now, as you can see, we're somewhere pretty special, not just surrounded by cars, we are also here at the iconic Imola circuit. Sam, it's WEC's first visit to this track. It's historic, it's grand, it's well loved. What can we expect from the race this weekend?
Well, the names speak for itself. Pirotella, Rivazza, Tosa, the Villeneuve King.
Are you just making up Italian names at this point?
This is my own, yeah, Italiano. But, you know, those names of those corners just roll off the tongue. And what they mean is a real challenge for the drivers, especially when there's a big grid of two classes, because the management of traffic is going to be the key topic come Sunday afternoon. They're going to have to be finding creative lines. It's a super narrow track. But I think as well, there's a little bit of elevation on this circuit as well.
Okay.
So trying to just get a perspective of where they can do that, particularly the hypercars getting through the GT3 cars, is not going to be easy. So I think there's going to be a huge challenge with that. I think it could be the deciding factor of the race. And of course, with it being so narrow, we expect a lot more full course yellows and safety cars than we had in Qatar.
We're expecting thousands of fans to be joining us this weekend. I think it could be one of the biggest Italian races we've had, which is incredibly exciting. So let's chat about the hypercars that the fans will be coming to see. We've got to, of course, start off with Porsche Penske Motorsport, who took their first win in the World Endurance Championship last time out in Qatar. And quite frankly, it was Porsche-powered dominance on that podium.
Yeah, there was a lot of surprise, but this is Porsche. This is Porsche. This is endurance racing. We know they're going to get it right eventually. Yeah, it was. There were some disappointing races last year, but they were building. They were actually just understanding that 963. And now they've got the vehicle dynamics right. They've got the traction much better than last season that we saw. And of course, what we saw in terms of the star performer really was Matt Campbell.
Phenomenal.
In that car. Absolutely superb performance from Matt. But the winners, Kevin Estre, Andre Lotterer, you know, they did a superb job as well. So I think they'll be, let's say they might not have the advantage that they had in Qatar, but they're going to be near the front because in every sector, in every, you know, in straight line speed and in what they were doing in the corners, they were probably the class of the field throughout Qatar.
Well, when in Italy, we of course have to talk about Ferrari. There's going to be three Ferrari-powered hypercars on the grid this weekend. Qatar wasn't fantastic for them when we were in Monza last year. Toyota even beat them on home turf. What can they do now that we're back on Italian soil?
Nothing like a bit of revenge, is there, to give the Tifosi. You know, the Tifosi are going to be out in force, I think. Again, they obviously are. They, you know, if they hear an engine from anywhere in a 60-mile radius, they're going to be at a racetrack. Ferrari, I think, will be super strong this weekend. I kind of fancy that number 50 car. You know, Antonio Fuoco, he's won here before in his career in single-seaters. He's shown ferocious speed in that car. Mm. They haven't won a race yet. There's this nice bit of rivalry with the 51 car, and I just think Ferrari they've got their best chance of winning on home soil, so I expect them to be near the front.
Well, I mentioned it just then that Toyota beat Ferrari on home soil this time, well, not quite this time last year, but around this time a year ago. They weren't really up there in Qatar, apart from the exception of Nyck de Vries's phenomenal qualifying lap. Are we expecting any different this weekend?
It has to be for the reigning champions. I mean, you know, they had a really disappointing first round of the series. The one real ray of light was Nyck de Vries's performance in qualifying. Superb effort from him. Lots of real good positive sort of points that I think he will just blend in there, hit the ground running with Kamui Kobayashi and Mike Conway. They already feel like a really tight squad there. So I think de Vries is one to watch. I think Toyota, that they will be better pace management because they were a little bit spiky in terms of what they were doing during their stints in Qatar. Yeah, I think they're going to be back where we're used to seeing them, which is near the front of the field.
Well, let's talk about something quite unique for Cadillac this weekend. They've only got two drivers in their team. Why on earth would they do that?
Well, it's completely unique in hypercar terms. There's never been a duo. Alex Lynn and Earl Bamber are in that car. Sebastian Bourdais is racing elsewhere. He was in the car. They've got a bit of a rotation system going on. We're going to see IndyCar, double IndyCar champion Alex Palou in that car, which I'm really looking forward to.
That'd be cool.
In Le Mans. But yeah, there's nothing in the regulations to say you can't have two drivers. So why not? Gives an bit of extra seat time for racing drivers, and guess what? They love it.
Well, actually, we are coming up to the Alpine right now, so it only feels right to talk about them. The best of the new kids out in Qatar, and there's a small change to the team this weekend that, of course, we really ought to talk about.
Yeah, well, the first thing we need to do is say get well, Ferdy. Had a shunt at Aragon, has hurt his back. He's getting fixed up really quickly. Fit as a fiddle, he'll be back in the car really soon. We've got Jules Gounon, not Jean-Marc Gounon. Show my age. Not his dad. I knew his dad quite well. But Jules Gounon is going to be in that car. We've got Nicolas Lapierre, Mick Schumacher and Mathieu Vaxivier in this car. Yep. And I thought they did a really, really strong job. Really good sort of foundation for what they want to achieve this season.
And of course, a home race for many drivers and teams up and down the grid. It would be remiss for us to not talk about Lamborghini and Isotta Francini. Home race for them. What can they do here on home soil?
I think for Isotta, it's way too soon. You know, they need to really just get the laps and get some reliability and get some consistency in what they do. Lamborghini, I think there were sort of elements that they picked up from Qatar. Yeah, there's definite promise there. Daniel Kvyat, you know, he proved to be quick. Edo Mortara, let's call him half Italian, shall we? Half Swiss, half Italian. But we've got 13 Italian drivers on the grid and six Italian teams, so there's a lot for the Tifosi to get their teeth into, as well as the obvious Ferrari Works team.
Well, actually, speaking of that Ferrari Works team, let's move on to LMGT3 and start talking about what the Ferrari AF Corsa project can do in the GT3 class. Are we expecting big things from them this weekend?
Yes, I think the number 54 car will be good. I've kind of...
The one right next to us.
This
good
is the
timing.
One. Lovely timing, yeah. Thomas Flohr, Francesco Castellacci and Davide Rigon, of course. You know, Davide's won races here before. Castellacci cut his racing teeth at Imola as well. So I thought they had a really good Qatar. They, you know, they didn't quite get on the podium. They weren't far away, just lost out in the last few stints. But, you know, they're always dangerous. And I think a lot depends on Thomas Flohr. I mean, the bronze categorised drivers on a narrow track with the traffic.
It's a big ask.
A lot's going to be just about keeping those clean and just keeping some consistency in the car.
Well, let's also talk about our winners from Qatar, the Porsche and Mantai Pure X Racing team. A phenomenal debut from them.
They did a really good job. Yeah, really good
Serious
job.
Serious mic drop vibe. It's like, that's impressive.
Yeah, Joel Sturm, Klaus Backler and Alexander Malakin. You know, not names that we know from WEC, but excellent debuts from the two that I mentioned in the first place there. You know, they were the clear pace setters. I think the Porsche will suit this track. You know, we've got two pretty quick chicanes, Varianta Alta and Varianta Bassa. I think they'll be pretty good there over the curbs. And yeah, I mean, again, in GT3, I think there's some great ingredients there to just have a multi-manufacturer battle throughout the whole 6 hours on Sunday.
It's also really important to talk about Aston Martin, second and third in Qatar. I'm looking down the grid at them now. I think they could do something special here this weekend.
Yeah, the Heart of Racing car in particular impressed in Qatar. Alex Ribeiro, Daniel Mancinelli and Ian James did a fantastic job there. They were really good in qualifying as well. They've learned quite a lot since coming in halfway through last season. I think they could be a dark horse. And actually, when we get onto our dreaded predictions, they're sort of filtering their way into the forefront of a win for Aston Martin here this weekend.
And actually, whilst we are here, one final LMGT3 car I want to talk about is, of course, number 46, belonging to Mr. Valentino Rossi, a legendary name here in Italian motorsport. I think the Italian fans will be here in their thousands to support the man himself. Yep. Is it too much to ask for a podium from them?
Nope. They weren't far off, were they, in Qatar? No. Fourth place. I thought Valet did a really good job. I mean, it was his debut. There was a lot of pressure on him, but guess what? He can take pressure, Alex. I don't know where that came from. You know, I don't know what he's done before in his career. I thought he was really impressive the way that he just dealt with this multi-category motorsport, because it's not easy to just come in when you've had the sort of solitude of being on about two wheels and just doing your thing. So I thought he integrated himself really well. You know, he's from about 30 miles away from here, between here
and really good point.
Between Imola and Misano. You know, his hometown is not far away. He'll have a massive amount of support here, and so he should. And obviously, you know, some of the crowd. I think we're anticipating a bumper crowd here this weekend. And
it's going to be mega.
There's going to be so much to see, let alone the, you know, legends of the sport being involved in this championship now. So, yeah, I think he's got a genuine chance of a podium this weekend.
Well, go on, Sam. We'll be very brief, because I'm pretty sure the guys want to take this incredible picture behind us. But hit me with your predictions for the weekend.
I'm going to stick with my Heart of Racing GT3. I think they've just got a feeling that they're due a big result. They've kind of been brewing up to it in the last three quarters of the season that they've done. I'm going to go for Heart over Head.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go for the number 50 Ferrari.
I just think
Fuoco, Nielsen and Miguel Molina, they've been really threatening to take a win. To get Ferrari, of course, the second WEC win here on home
would
turf.
Would be huge.
Would just, the place is just going to absolutely erupt. So, yeah, I think they've got a really good chance.
Thank you so much, Sam. And thank you so much for joining us. There's still tickets available if you want to join us here on the ground in Imola this weekend. We'd love to see you, but if not, head to fiawec.tv for where you can watch where you are. And also, make sure you're following along on all of the FIAWEC social media, because we'll be bringing you updates throughout the weekend. That's it from us. Make sure you're following along for the debrief after the race with the best interviews we can get. We'll see you there.
Arrivederci.